Hey Houston, Conn's prices are invincible. That means prices have been cut low, as in amazingly low, as in won't be beat. In fact, we're backing it up with our low price guarantee. Invincible prices on appliances, furniture, electronics, mattresses, and more. Not invincible enough for you? How about free next day delivery on appliances, TVs, and mattresses? And payment options for everyone, whether you have good credit or building it. Visit Conn's today and find out what invincible feels like.
You're crazy.
What's going on, everybody? Happy holidays to you all on this very special Monday morning. Wow, the holidays are upon us. I don't know what you're doing, if you're staying home by yourself and trying to be safe, or trying to be safe with some people. Whatever. I just hope you're doing happy things. I hope you're staying healthy. Thanks for tuning in to this very special episode of Ask Nick. I say it's special because I feel like I really kicked ass.
You killed it.
I mean, I always kick ass, but like, I think there was something really, I was on one today. So I hope you enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe I'm just full of shit, but I think you'll find our callers to be honest, vulnerable. And, I feel good about the feedback I gave them. So I hope you enjoy it. I can't thank you guys enough. Listen, if you're thinking about sending me a Christmas gift, and I know you guys are because you love me as much as I love you. Go ahead. If you're listening to this on iTunes and write us, don't even write us. Just give us 5 stars. If you want to write a review, that'd be nice, but not needed. That would really mean a lot to me, especially you Ask Nick listeners out there. You're the heartblood of this show. I believe that. And this show is therapeutic for me, as I hope it is for you. And I'd love some holiday Christmas reviews. Also, we have some merch available, vilefiles.com, if you want some merch. I'm going to go ahead and say 20% off code VILL. Christy, make sure to let the good people know that we're going to do that. So,
all right.
Give them some 20% off. So last minute holiday merch, hoodies, breakup books, mugs, we have it all. Check it out. Tune in tomorrow. Sarah Silverman is here to help us break down the final 2 episodes of The Bachelor at season with Tayshia. Can't wait to break it down with Sarah. She's got a great new podcast out as well that we'll talk with her a little bit about. And then on, Tuesday night, we're essentially going to be dropping the Sarah Silverman and the runner-up interview back-to-back. So in these holiday times, make sure to give us the time that we deserve. I don't care if your kids want some mommy or daddy time. You have to listen to our episodes first. And the good news is while you're traveling, while you're, you know, put on a Disney movie, turn us on. And you will really enjoy it. So spread the word. I can't thank you enough. Also, as we wrap up this year, for again listening, sharing on your socials, our podcasts. We love it when you guys do that. So if you guys want to do that, can't thank you enough. It's because of you that we continue to get the word, spread the word about this show, and it really means a lot. So I hope you guys are enjoying your holiday season. Stay safe. Stay warm. All that fun stuff, and I'll shut up. Have we covered everything, Chrissy, or anything else?
I think you've got it all down.
Great. Big things coming for you guys in the new year. Other than that, let's rock and roll.
What's your time with Nick? Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
How's it going?
It's going.
What's your name?
Lana. My name's Lana.
Hi, Lana.
I'm 27.
Great. How can I help?
Okay, so I have this problem where I, as a 27-year-old woman, seem to only date younger men or boys, usually like in their early 20s.
Okay.
And it hasn't really been working out for me. A little bit of like recent history, my ex-boyfriend of 3.5 years was 3 years younger than me.
Okay.
So we broke up in January and he was 23 and I was about to turn 27. And since then I've kind of like been reverting back to, you know, still seeing people who are like 21, 22, and I'm always just super disappointed by the outcome. And I don't know how to break the cycle because I'm super uncomfortable dating people who I'm not comfortable with, who I don't already know. And my circle seems to run a little bit younger because I was enveloped in this friend group with my younger ex-boyfriend. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. Now, this friend group, I mean, it's you kind of described high school, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And by high school, I mean in high school, we're limited in terms of our world. It's more of a bubble. And even if you have a group of friends and you break up with your girlfriend, like you end up dating her friend or something because, well, it's high school and that's just what you do. And you're lucky enough to meet someone at a rival high school to get more of a variety. And you just kind of described that. Is that your situation where it's just like...
I've never thought of it that way. But when you point it out, you're kind of... hitting home.
Okay. So why are you doing that? I guess is my question. You reference familiarity, but that can't be.
Yeah. I don't know. I get super uncomfortable. Okay. Part of it, like I said, was that I tend to have a lot of friends who are younger than I am. And I feel like anytime I've dated someone older historically, I've felt such a deep sense of inadequacy and nervousness, and I can't even speak around them. Like, since I was younger, and I feel like I've kind of like, when I was younger, I never thought I was smart. So maybe it's really deep rooted, but when I was younger, I never thought I was smart. So I liked to date people who weren't going to challenge me, and I kind of had the upper hand over. And anytime that I've dated someone a little bit older with a little bit more, you know, life experience, or, you know, they had like aspirational jobs, I just always felt super intimidated, and I don't like to be intimidated.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you've kind of identified some of the struggles here that you're having, right? Are you still always having a boyfriend?
No. So I didn't have a boyfriend since like from high school up until I started dating my ex when I was 23.
Okay.
22, 23. And then we were together for 3.5 years, and it's like been a recent split. Well, not anymore. I guess the last year has just flown by, but when lockdown kind of happened, I was like pretty fresh off of my breakup. And so I just like, I guess then, you know, you start talking to people on Instagram who you already know and were like friends. And then like one thing led to another, and it like turned into more of a thing. And it's like, we just already knew each other. But then they end up not obviously working out because they're literally just turned 21 and need to find someone their own age. But
first thing I do every day is drink a cup of coffee. I love brewing it. I brew some coffee and then I water my plants. It's a really fun life I've carved out for myself. And I'm doing it with Press House Coffee. Why? Because I like drinking things I love and getting it from people who love those things the same. And the people at Press House Coffee love coffee. They're obsessed with it. And it makes me feel good about the coffee I'm drinking because it comes fresh. Fresh. That's right.
Super fresh.
Their head roasters personally source each bean and creates a unique roasting profile to highlight its flavors. I have a blend or a brew, key lime pie. I never thought I would enjoy a coffee that's has a key lime pie taste.
Their flavored coffee is amazing. It's wonderful. But also they have these little like one like single daily serve. This one's daily grind.
It's really
like
good. Really good. I had the daily grind yesterday morning.
Yeah, and you just like I've been putting it in the French press. And it's just like, it's good enough for like your first morning start and you can just run out the door. It's really good. It's just enough.
It's just enough. It's a single serve. You don't waste any grounds. It's fresh. It's like grinding your own beans right at home, but you don't have to do it because they do it for you. It ships to you within 72 hours for optimal freshness. That is right. And if you're not sure what you like, take their quiz and Press House Coffee will send you a surprise pack full of coffee you'll love. Again, key lime pie I had. Surprised. It does. I was surprised. I was so surprised. I was like, oh, man, this is amazing. Treat yourself to a Press House coffee and find your new favorite roast. And right now you can get 20% off by going to my special URL, PressHouseCoffee.com/VIALL, and enter promo code VIALL at checkout. Order today. That's promo code VIALL at PressHouseCoffee.com/VIALL. Waste not, want not, people. Do, you know, it sucks, you know, when we waste things. And we always, like, sometimes we like to enjoy a nice glass of wine, a hearty glass of wine. Let's say maybe 6.3 ounces, which is like it's a heavy pour.
It's very specific.
Very specific. Why specific? Because usual wines, that's the size it comes in. And you know what's great about them? It's just the right amount of wine to not get too indulgent, feel good, have it with a meal, a little bit left over for dessert, and then not waste the bottle. Because that's the single savory. Even if it's two people, you and a lovely lady or a handsome gentleman has one heavy pour, and then you always have like what? Like one third bottle left of wine, and then it's like, maybe I drink it tomorrow.
And then you feel the pressure to finish the bottle of wine.
And you don't want that, you know? You don't want that. You're not ready for it. And if you want it, great, but a lot of us don't, and then we waste it. Not with usual wines. No. Usual wines is made from the world-class AVAs, American Viticultural Area, in California, like Napa, Sonoma, Santa Barbara, and are made with minimal intervention, zero sugar, and zero additives. And the no sugar, I know we think, aren't sugar in grapes, but they pick at optimal ripeness to ensure that all sugars will be fermented completely until the wines are dry with no residual sugar. The most important part is it tastes great. They have a lot of great options. Right now, they have a special holiday product out, Usual Reserve. It's an ultra-premium limited edition Mount Veeder Cabernet Sauvignon. Introducing Usual Reserve. It's their most special wine yet, just in time for the holidays. Hailing from one of the most celebrated plots of land in all of Napa, this Cabernet Sauvignon is concentrated and rich with just enough grip. Gift it to someone special or keep it for yourself. The holidays as usual. Go check it out right now at their website at www.usualwines.com and use my discount code VIALL for $8 off your first order and try your first glass on them. Clearly, I mean, age can vary, right? It doesn't matter. I mean, but it's interesting with your case because it's, you know, the stereotype, you know, younger women date older men, you know, and there's usually, well, there might be a variety of reasons why, but a lot of it refers to like a maturity, right? Women tend, you know, it's, I don't know if there's, I'm sure there's data behind it, but for whatever reason, women definitely mature faster than men, you know?
Yeah.
And then also like it matters in terms of like, where they are in terms of their birth order can matter their maturity level. Like my younger siblings are way more mature at the ages they are than I was when I was there. And I think a lot has to do with when, you know, they grew up, they had all these older siblings in a way of more, they learned more about life by being surrounded by more people than just, I had just my parents who only knew their, you know, limited amount, et cetera, whatever. But you have this confidence issue that you've identified about yourself, right? And that's clearly something I think you should work on that has nothing to do with necessarily dating, right? And there's different ways you can work on that, right? Do you get therapy?
Just started therapy.
So that's awesome.
Baby steps.
Right? Well, I'm just curious, why do you feel like at a younger age you were never smart? Is that something you told yourself? Did you grow up having other people tell you this, you know?
Oh yeah, all of the above, like I have learning disabilities, so I have really bad ADHD. My hands are sweating because I'm just dying to fidget right now. So I like went to a private school where, you know, it was all kids who had similar, you know, difficulties learning. And I just coasted off of, you know, I don't know how to do anything. Like, so I just, for a long time, I didn't apply myself. I thought that I wasn't capable. And the people around me just kind of like catered to that. So I
can see you, obviously you're a very pretty girl. You know, you have the blonde hair. And what I'm asking is, do you feel like there's a stereotype sometimes? Pretty blonde, ditzy, dumb, whatever. Totally not accurate, but like, it's definitely a stereotype. I mean, there's plenty of smart, blonde, pretty women out there. And I'm wondering, do you think you played into that stereotype as almost a defense mechanism or even an excuse to have other people just do shit for you?
No, for sure. When I was younger, I just figured it was easier because I wasn't great at learning. So I felt like I was a little bit behind in some ways. So I was just like, it's easier to just be simple and like not know what's going on and, you know, just not be challenged and not look stupid and, you know, those insecurities. So, yeah, and then I got a little bit older, I was like, I'm not stupid. What?
I think one thing you should tell yourself too, when you say I'm not great at learning, you might not be great at learning in a more traditional sense, mm-hmm. right? That society expects us to learn a different way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't mean you're bad at learning. I mean, I have ADD, yeah. I'm dyslexic. There's a bunch of things I'm good at or not good at, right? Yeah. I'm just, you know, and I've had people tell me I'm absent-minded, airheaded, and then I've had other people tell me I'm really smart. It just all depends on the situation yeah. you're in, right? Thankfully, you know, my parents gave me confidence, just enough confidence to ignore the haters and believe the people who wanted to compliment me. But I think it's really important, and I think it's great that you are seeing a therapist, right? And then I mm-hmm. think in the meantime, you know, I don't know what your therapist is going to say, but I think you need to just stop with the negative self-limiting beliefs about yourself and start with, you know, getting good at complimenting yourself, figuring out what you feel like you're good at, like whatever it is. I don't know. It could be ironing, could be folding laundry. It could be writing poems. I don't know what it is, but I'm certain there's things you're good at. And I think you should focus on that and be not afraid to like feel good that you're good at that, right? I'm like, well, I am good at that. People come to me for those things. Whatever it is, because it could be literally anything. It doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be what society holds up and says, I'm glad if you're good at this, people will like you. And of course, everyone's good at, you know, whatever, you know, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
And those good things they have more confidence. And I think in the meantime, right now, I'm not saying stop dating, but I think, well, you're just started to see this therapist, it might be a great opportunity for you to take a lot of pressure when it comes off of dating. I'm not, mm-hmm. Don't go off of dating apps, right? But maybe knowing that you have this thing, challenge yourself to not always go with the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Challenge yourself to not go with what you find to be comfortable. Could be like people, oh, I know him. I've met him at a party, so I'll match with him. Like, that's not a prerequisite to love. Familiarity isn't going to get you there. It helps you have a conversation on a first date, sure, but like, take the pressure off yourself. Understand that dating is hard. Understand that most dates don't work out, and a lot of finding love is finding that person, whether regardless of their age, younger, you're around your age or older, that might make you feel good. Along this journey of dating, you will meet condescending people who make you feel inadequate. Sometimes that's going to be on you because you're not, haven't been figured out how to find the confidence in yourself. And sometimes you're just going to meet people who make you, there's a lot of people who are good at making other people feel inferior, right? And those are things they have to work on, right? And it's finding someone who is a good match for you, but you do have to challenge yourself with being uncomfortable. And that's probably your biggest challenge right now, is you don't like feeling uncomfortable at all. And no. You have resorted to like the easy way out. And more than anything, you need to work on being uncomfortable. You need to work on pushing your comfort zone, and whatever that is, dating, life, career, friendships, interactions. And you just need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. That's probably your most immediate and biggest challenge that you should focus on. And that will affect all aspects of your life, not just dating. Dating is just one of the things that, you know, like you think about it because dating is so obvious. We all want to find love, but it's getting mm-hmm. comfortable with being uncomfortable that you really need to work on.
You're so right.
Thanks.
You actually you just read me like a book there. So good for you.
Well, I'm glad I could help, but really challenge yourself. I mean, you know, I really... Yeah. You remind me of my mom in that sense. My mom is 62 years old, and she grew up with five brothers in a very old school household. And, you know, she had great parents in their own right, but very, very old fashioned. And my mom lacks a lot of confidence when it comes to her intelligence, right? And she's a very smart woman. It's just something she's really good at, something she's not good at. But overall, she was told this, and then she started believing it. And she, you know, she still struggles with it to this day. And it's great for you to identify it still young in your life and try to reverse engineer those beliefs. And to a certain extent, you might struggle with in general, but getting comfortable with being uncomfortable is a good first step. And then, you know, not indulging in self-limiting beliefs. When you find yourself telling yourself something, just tell yourself to shut up. We don't tell ourselves to shut up enough. We like telling other people to shut up, but we have to tell ourselves to shut up too.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging to shut off the negative narrative that you've like created for yourself. So it's definitely something I want to work on. And I hadn't thought about how that relates to my dating experience or like habits, if you will.
Totally. Listen, I haven't talked to you that long. I don't know what your cerebral strengths are, but just talking to you right now, you're more than capable of carrying a conversation. Someone who is reflective about what their struggles are that you are right now and seeks therapy takes a level of intelligence, right? That's a level of self-awareness that requires people to have. You know, we hear so much about emotional intelligence, whether it's reality TV what. But like,
I gotta get that book.
Yeah, it's a real thing. And I don't think you need to read the book. But you clearly have some self-awareness, right? And that is a level of intelligence that throughout whatever your childhood is or your own actions, you've been able to identify by simply just being like, why am I dating these guys that are 3 years younger than me? And quite frankly, that's not a crime. You're allowed to date someone younger than you. There might be, while hard to find, some really mature and intelligent young men who might bring out the best in you.
Maybe not the ones you've dated.
Yeah.
No.
So that's a diamond in the rough, right? You're usually going to find that with younger women than younger guys.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying, yes, you identifying that is good, and it takes some intelligence, and you should pat yourself on the back when it comes to recognizing that. But you do have to get comfortable. Like when you feel uncomfortable, don't run. Dive further in. It won't kill you.
Yeah.
And it's like anything else. You'll have you ever put your foot in a really cold water, like ice bath or something? I don't know if you ever played sports or anything like that, but like, have you ever done that? It hurts.
Yeah.
The first time you do that, it doesn't feel uncomfortable. It's fucking painful, mm-hmm. right? It hurts. But like, if you get through that threshold, it starts feeling good. And then the next day you do it again, it hurts a little bit less and a little bit less. And then all of a sudden you get used to it, where the first time you put your foot in the ice bath, it feels good immediately. But it took some time to get there and retrain your body to like feel that sensation because it was very resistant. That's a great analogy to like anything else that you feel pain and frustration when you're uncomfortable with certain things that you're just not used to. It doesn't mean it's not good for you, and it doesn't mean you can't work through it. You just have to fight through those feelings.
As you're saying this, I'm thinking I'm uncomfortable being completely like alone, like not having anyone like pining after me or like, you know, like talking to in the DMs or whatever. I'm super uncomfortable being lonely. So like,
great.
I'm always trying to like find someone to talk to because like, you know, I'm uncomfortable not, and maybe I need to just like not talk to anyone, just work on myself. And then like, it will probably just be more organic and natural when I don't know.
Totally. Sometimes you might just be lonely and want to talk to someone. But next time, since you recognize this, ask yourself the question, am I just bored? Do I really want to talk to this person? Or do I just want attention? Ask yourself that question and then be honest with it. And if you find it to be like you're bored and just want attention, just be like, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to be alone and see how that feels. Once in a while, you give in. Like, I mean, shit. Sometimes we know sweets aren't good for it. You're like, fuck it. I'm going to have a cookie. Treat yourself.
Yes.
You know, but you do have to get good at saying no once in a while and having that self-discipline.
Fair.
And then once you work on that, then go and try to date older men. Only match with certain, you know, and it age is a number, right? Like, don't make it about, but just try to get more variety. Whatever you do, do things that you're not used to. Try new things. That's the biggest thing. Different ages, different groups, people you're not familiar with. If a guy asks you a question and you're just like, where is this going? Don't quit. See where it goes. You know, it doesn't matter if it gets weird. I mean, you don't want it to get too weird, but like, it doesn't matter if it gets uncomfortable. It's just dating. It's meant to be uncomfortable. You can't find great things unless you're willing to push the limits.
You're right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, best of luck. I think you're going to be great. Congratulations on starting therapy. I know that's not easy, and I think you should pat yourself on the back on that and recognize that it took a lot of emotional intelligence and strength to do that.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, people, last chance to get your natural habits right before the holidays, either for yourself to calm you during the holiday rush and madness of little kitties running around giving you headaches, or maybe that perfect stocking stuffer, right? You're looking for a great gift. Diffuse your essential oils, roll them on your body, and get the calmness and quality of safe smelling oils in your house and on your body. Natural Habits Essential Oils, NHOils.com. Right now, use code LOVE, L-O-V-E, for 35% off free shipping. Ooh. NHOils.com, 35% off, code LOVE. How's it going?
Hi, my name is Cassidy, and I'm 23.
Hi, Cassidy. How can I help?
So I've been with my boyfriend for a little over a year now, and most of the time that we've been dating, he has not liked my roommate slash best friend.
Okay.
So I guess a little bit of background. So we've had like some boundary privacy issues in the past. My roommate had found some like messages that he had sent to other girls pretty early on in our relationship last year. So that obviously caused some problems.
How did he do that?
He was like taking photos of us and something had popped up. And so he went into his phone.
And this happened in an early dating situation where, well, maybe difficult to see, not necessarily wrong.
We were exclusive the time. Okay. So it was, they were messages that were wrong.
They were wrong. So your now boyfriend was acting a fool early on in your relationship and your roommate
caught him.
Okay.
Yes. So, and this was my first relationship. So I think I kind of had some boundary issues with maybe sharing too much with my roommate. Because I ultimately decided to forgive my boyfriend. We've moved past that. So that's not really my issue anymore. I trust him. But I think ever since then, my boyfriend really has not, he's kind of thought that my roommate is out to get him, like trying to get me to break up with him. And just generally thinks that he doesn't like him. And that's just very one-sided. And has created a lot of arguments between me and my boyfriend.
Okay.
So, yeah, and I guess like another layer to it. So my roommate is gay, and but my boyfriend will call him
male.
Like my sec. He's male. Okay. Yes, my roommate's male. So, my boyfriend will call him like my second boyfriend, and kind of make like generalizations about what gay men are like and. Things. So I don't necessarily think my boyfriend is homophobic, but I think he's kind of like uncomfortable with, I'm sorry?
Ignorant?
Maybe a little ignorant. You could call it that. So I guess
I think people, I've said this before, we're all ignorant about certain things and we sometimes get a little too defensive by the word ignorant, but that doesn't mean you're not. And it sounds like from what you're saying is your boyfriend is making some generalizations about your roommate because he's gay, right? Mm-hmm. That are inaccurate and ignorant, and he's refused and been unwilling to learn and just, you know, generalizes him based off of things he just assumes, that which would make him ignorant.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, I just kind of feel like I'm in a position where obviously, I care a lot about my roommate and my boyfriend, so I want to make that relationship better. So I guess that's kind of what my question is, like, how can I facilitate a better relationship and, like, how, how can I help my boyfriend not be ignorant?
Okay, well, great. So if I were to ask you do you think your roommate in slash best friend is doing anything wrong?
I mean, based on the past, like maybe he has like unintentionally sparked some drama, but I don't think that at this point, I mean, maybe he's not going out of his way to be best of friends with my boyfriend, but I don't think that he's being rude to him okay. in any way.
So if you were to critique your best friend, the critique may be he could be slightly more inviting and welcoming and make my boyfriend feel a little bit more comfortable, and he might not be doing that.
Yeah, perhaps. But I also think he has had conversations, like he sat down with my boyfriend and been like, look, I just want Cassidy to be happy. I'm not trying to get yeah. in your way of that. Okay. Like they've had the conversation, but that hasn't seemed to help.
So it seems like it's more of your boyfriend's issues.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good for you to know, right?
Yeah.
That's a tough question. In terms of the answer is, I mean, you're like, hey, tell your boyfriend not to be ignorant. Well, he's going to get defensive, right?
Yeah.
No one likes to be called ignorant. You really have to be self-aware and mature to recognize your own ignorance and not get defensive and say, all right, I'm ignorant. Let's change it. But that doesn't mean, even though it's tough, you should avoid the conversation. So, yeah, I mean, have you talked to your boyfriend about the possibility that he might be incorrectly judging your friend? I mean,
yes.
First off, like, your roommate's gay. He's clearly not your second boyfriend. He is your friend.
Clearly.
He's attracted to other men. There's nothing there between the two of you. He is not
yes.
a threat. And so any... I don't know about you, but to me, I would have zero patience and zero tolerance, or however you want to, like, I wouldn't have any leash when it comes to like snarky comments like that. Like, I wouldn't just like be like, ugh. I wouldn't roll your eyes and huff and puff and be passive aggressive when he says things like that are frustrating. I would be like, I would, you know, treat childish comments like you would a child and be like, stop it. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you have
like
to
don't entertain it.
You don't entertain it. Don't like laugh it off. Don't like ignore it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like he needs to somehow learn that this is wrong. And if he wants to be with you in a relationship, he needs to become more enlightened. Right.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Hope I'm assuming you want to be with someone who wants to be enlightened. There's nothing wrong. Like there's nothing wrong with being ignorant to a point. And what I mean by that is, like, we are a product of our environments, our parents, and where we're from. And as early childhood, we only learn what is taught to us when we're young. And then as adults, we get, you know, we just reinforce what we learned in the past until we start meeting other people or experiencing other things. But we have to have an open-mindedness to ourselves. And that requires some sort of maturity and self-awareness. And like he has you, you're his girlfriend, you're open-minded, your best friend is gay, and yet you're dating someone who's making ignorant and passive-aggressive statements about being gay, right?
Yeah.
And so he needs, you know, like, you have to ask yourself, am I dating someone who's willing to learn? Am I dating someone who's willing to not be ignorant? Am I dating someone who's willing to like recognize that, like, oh fuck, man, that was kind of dumb and ignorant. I wish I didn't say that. I will never say that again, you know, who's good at criticism and saying, oh, well, that really hurt my feelings. Let me ask you this. When you're in a boyfriend with your boyfriend, can you say things like that really hurt my feelings? It bothered me that you said that. Here's why. And how does he handle those situations?
Yeah. I feel like we do have open communication. Sometimes maybe in our more heated arguments about it, it's more difficult to do that, but I always feel like after we've had some time away and we sit down, I'm like, hey, this is how it makes me feel when you talk like this. Like he does get it, but it still seems to continue to be a problem.
Okay. Because I think one thing that's really important for you to distinguish, this is not you having to decide between a friend and a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And even if your boyfriend makes you feel like it is, that's not what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because unless I'm missing something, it sounds like your best friend has your best intentions in mind. And sometimes that's not always the case. Sometimes you're in a relationship and you're like dating a friend who's this Machiavellian and insecure and selfish and doesn't want to share you and go in like, and it sounds like that's not what's going on here. But it, what no, it sounds think, like, yeah, it's.
I was just going to say, I think that's kind of what my boyfriend thinks that he is going on.
Based on what?
I mean, based on the fact of the past. I mean, what happened last year?
Your boyfriend did that. Mm-hmm. He can't blame anyone else for being caught, right? And it doesn't sound like even your best friend went out of his way to catch him. He was just sloppy.
Yeah.
Right? And so anytime he wants to blame someone else for his mistakes, that's a red flag. You know, again, nip that in the bud. Be like, hey, why are you blaming him for what you did? Like, mm-hmm. he didn't do anything wrong. I appreciate him telling me. That's what I want my friends to do. And I'm, mm-hmm. you should thank him for checking you, because God only knows how long it would have gone on for. And I've chosen to forgive you, but make no mistake, like, that was your fault. You did this, and stop blaming other people for the shit you did. And project mm-hmm. your frustration that you got caught onto my friend.
Yeah, that right? makes sense.
And I think that's what you have to do, because this is not a choice. This is not you having to decide between a friend and a boyfriend. It's about your boyfriend, in a way, being the manipulative one, right? And not liking that he got caught, and not liking that, you know, your best friend has some sort of influence in your life, as all friends do, right? Mm-hmm. And it sounds like what you're telling me is that your best friend has tried to make amends and tried to say, hey, listen, I just want what's best for my friend. And mm-hmm. yeah, I have my guard up because you did this shit, but she trusts you, so I'm going to trust you. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. your boyfriend keeps making little comments about why you should not trust your best friend, making you mm-hmm. feel like, you know, ultimately you're going to have to decide between the two. And if that ends up being the case, it's only because your boyfriend makes you choose. And if he makes you choose, right now it sounds like you're forced to choose your best friend only because your best friend's not making you choose. And your best friend's not the one making ignorant comments and trying to blame him for your problems. That's what your boyfriend's doing. So.
Yeah, it's just, it's kind of ironic that he thinks my roommate's starting drama and he's kind of the one. starting the drama. And it is exactly like you said. I do kind of feel like I'm put in the middle a little bit, and I don't want to have to decide between the two of them.
So I mean, don't let them. I mean, you're going to have, it's, you're kind of at that point where you have to, as always, I say, be open to the possibility this isn't your guy. And I don't know if it is or isn't. It's not your guy if he can't get through this hurdle. Mm-hmm. It's not your guy if he can't fully accept his mistakes and stop projecting it onto other people, because he doesn't want to just acknowledge that he was shitty and what he did was totally wrong. He has no one to blame for himself. But thankfully, he's with someone who's willing to forgive him and trust him and get over it. Because not everyone is that accepting and forgiving. Nor do they have to be.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you think that there's anything else that I could do or should do to help
him? I think you just need to start being very direct with him and stop worrying about, is he going to be able to handle this? Is he going to get defensive? You know, there's some childlike behavior that your boyfriend's demonstrating, and that doesn't mean that you need to coddle to his needs. He is an adult, and you need to treat him like an adult. And if he can't handle being treated like an adult, then maybe that's when you come to the decision that maybe he's not your guy.
Yeah.
So I do think you've kind of come to a point where you've tried to be patient. You've tried to, like, oh, okay, you know, maybe and make excuses for him. You need to stop making excuses for him and just deal with him very directly and not make it, you know, like, here's the thing. Maybe part of the reason why he's treating you, making you feel like you have to choose between your best friend and you, is because you've kind of played good cop while your best friend's played bad cop. And now you need to start playing bad cop.
Yeah. That's very true.
So, and I am sorry if that realization that maybe he's not your guy, but trust me, you'll be happier and less confused. You shouldn't feel this way in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, I never thought I would be in a relationship where my boyfriend didn't get along with my friends.
Yeah, I mean, it happens
so,
all the time.
I'm suspicious of them.
I wouldn't feel bad about it. And it doesn't make your boyfriend a bad guy, but he has some growing up to do. How old is he?
29.
Okay. Well, I've matured in my 30s, So it's not like your boyfriend can't either, but he has to be willing to accept it, and you have to be a bad cop, because it sounds like your boyfriend consciously or subconsciously feels like he can get away with trying to convince you to believe something that's not real.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good point.
Start putting that foot down. And I think you should give your best friend a big hug for having your back. It sounds like he's a pretty good friend who cares about you. And unless I'm missing some information, all he is being a friend. And yeah. And it sounds like in your gut, you know that to be true.
Yeah, I do. Okay. Well, thank you so much.
There,
I appreciate
there are
it.
There are other men out there. And I know it's your first one. That first one's a bugaboo, you know? So,
yeah.
And it doesn't mean he's not your guy, but don't be afraid to consider the possibility is not just because he's your first.
Okay. Yeah. You've given me a lot to think about. Thank you very much.
All right. Best of luck.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. How's it going?
It's good. How are you?
I'm great. What's your name?
My name is Amy. I am 24 years old.
Hi, Amy. 24. How can I help?
So I wrote in, I am dating somebody we've been together for about a year and a half now, and we've got a big age gap. We're kind of, we're about 30 years apart. He is in his 50s.
Okay.
And we're in a really good spot. Like, we're super, super happy. You know, we like to think we've got all the good things going for us, good communication. We're into each other's hobbies. We really enjoy each other. But we're hitting kind of a place in our relationship where if we're going to talk about the future, there's some inequalities. Like, there's just, you know,
like
financial
what?
Inequalities. So where we are in our career, there's financial inequalities. We're talking about, you know, family planning and things like that. And I was being 24. I'm in a place in my life where I was kind of in no rush to get those sort of things started. Mm-hmm. I didn't see marriage and babies for me until kind of into my 30s. But given the age difference, it's one of those things that, like, if we're going to get moving and have a future, we kind of want to do it ASAP. And I think the biggest thing that I'm encountering is I feel okay with that. Him and I have had lots of open communication about kind of how we feel, but I'm getting a lot of judgment from, like, friends and family. And I don't think my question so much has to do with our relationship, because I feel really confident in that, but in kind of navigating the judgment and the questions from people who mean well and love me and love him so much, but don't quite understand the relationship.
Okay. Great questions. I just think, yeah, there's nothing you can do about people's judgments to a certain degree. Sometimes, you know, lots of times people's judgments comes from a place of love and caring for you. Other times people just judge because they're haters and they have nothing better to do and they're projecting their own shit onto you, right? But let's assume you're referring to people
sure.
closest to you, family and friends who know you the best, you know, and those are opinions that we should listen to. So let's assume that's coming from a place of love and concern. They want what's best for you. And if you show them, like, sometimes you just have to do what's best for yourself. And, like, their concerns are valid because, like, you know, there's exceptions. You want to be the exception to the rule, right? And that's fine. Because the rule
sure.
says that's a huge sure. age gap and there's going to be a lot of challenges and struggles that ultimately are going to make it not work and cause you hurt and pain and maybe him hurt and pain in the future, right? But if you believe mm-hmm. that you're the exception and that's up to you to take that risk, that's up to you, right? And your friends and family mm-hmm. are going to just have that concern. That being said, you know, you made some comments about, well, you preferred to wait, but because he's at his, I think mm-hmm. that's something you need to really focus on and address. And I think you need to be really careful that these are your choices and not mm-hmm. the relationship's choices and certainly not his choices. He needs to recognize, as someone who's that much older than you, that he has to make sacrifices too. But, you know, it's a big ask to ask a person who's going to, you know, birth a child in her body to, like, make certain exceptions to, you know, listen, and every couple decides family planning differently and in a relationship, mm-hmm. but are you guys engaged? You're not engaged, right? You're not?
No, not yet.
Married.
Not at all, no.
But I just think that's, I just think it's really important for you to make sure that you really want this for yourself. And if there's a part mm-hmm. of you that would ideally prefer to wait to have kids into her 30s, I don't think that's something you should ignore. Because you don't know how this relationship is going to go. All relationships, you know, some relationships work out, some relationships don't, right? And you're not engaged yeah. and you're not married. You have, you know, and ones that are engaged sometimes end, and even marriages end. But even at least with marriages, you like have these vows of like till death do you part. So I would really advise you to take a step back and make sure this is your choice. That's really my biggest takeaway when it comes to the having kids. And I think you will, then as far as the, to a certain degree, your family and friends may never not have their opinions and concerns until they see it, right? You may, like, what I'm saying is I wouldn't do this to prove them wrong, but you literally might have to, like, have kids, and then 10 years from now, you guys are still happy. You have two adorable children. You're like, see, I'm happy. And they're like, well, you're happy, and I'm happy, and we thought it wasn't going to work out, but now we see that it did. That might be the only way some of them come around. You definitely yeah. shouldn't try to prove they're wrong. But what I'm saying, instead of that, like, you, them, like, there might be a part of you. There might be a part of you that they there might be a part of them that sees your hesitance. They might have heard you say before you met him how certain you were that you wanted to wait till you're in your 30s to have kids. And now all of a sudden it's changing and they're going to attribute mm-hmm. it to this relationship. And that's a fair concern of theirs. Right? So
right. Yeah.
whatever you do, yeah, I just think absolutely. It's really incumbent for you, because there's always a criticism, the older guy dates younger girl, how much influence is he having on her life and things like that. And you sound like, just a little bit, I'm talking to you right. that like you are self-aware. You're very much an adult, you know, like you make your own choices. It would be condescending to suggest yeah. that you can't decide. There's plenty of 21, 22, 20 year olds having kids and getting married and no one has a problem with. Right. So you certainly are yeah. capable of it. Right. And they make decisions for themselves. But
yeah,
my only concern, just to reiterate, is that you yourself even say that you would prefer to wait. And I just don't think
yeah.
you should be so quick to make that sacrifice.
So, and I think what I struggle with too is it's not a pressure from him. He has made it very clear that it is absolutely all up to me. And so
that's great.
It's like a very right. Like, he's wonderful. Can't explain that enough. But it's not that it's just. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a very weird struggle, because I do look at him and what a wonderful man he is and our relationship. And I think that we like would make great parents together and be an awesome team.
How old is he?
And he's 56.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. There's
his clock is ticking. That's a reality. It's not like he's, you know.
Right. Exactly. And it's not a pressure coming from him. It's more me, I think. I think I'm putting that pressure on the relationship and us, because I have always wanted children, and now I'm in a relationship that I'm so happy with, and I want it to be with him. But I'm like, wait, this isn't quite what I was planning, and I know that I can do it, and I know I'm capable of doing it. I don't know how to reconcile it with myself. I don't know. I'm just...
And yeah, I don't have the answers for you, but I... Do you, yeah. hearing you talk, feel better about the fact that this sounds like this is your choice, right? It's great that it sounds like you're dating someone who gets it, who recognizes yeah. that, like, he's asking a lot of you and just really wants to make sure that you want to do this and it's not because of him, so that you resent him someday. Mm-hmm. And then you'll just have to figure that out. There's plenty of people who have kids far sooner than they expected because, you know, they got drunk one night and sack, you know, or they fell in love and then expect it. Like, things do change. And so... Yeah. I don't know how you do. All I'm saying is you need to reconcile that. And I just think you should right. be very confident if you do decide to move forward with this relationship. And by forward, like, also, like, you know, you can get engaged and married and not have kids right away. So, like, why right. don't we just let yeah. that happen if it happens? Right.
Right.
I'm not saying yeah. you have to get engaged. Like, if you want to have kids and not get engaged and married, that's also your choice, too. But
yeah.
You don't have to make a decision now. And I just think my only advice to you is like, as confident as you can be with your decision, knowing that feelings can change, that you are mm-hmm. doing it for yourself. And
yeah.
and then you have to think of things, you just have to be as realistic as possible. Because all relationships can end. What if this relationship's end? Will I regret it? And you'll still hopefully have a loving child or two. You know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, well, we can't plan yeah. our entire lives either, right? So there right. is that too. So, sure. and just because you thought at 19 you didn't want to have kids, you're 30, doesn't necessarily mean much anyways. I just want you to be confident in your decision.
That's a good point.
And even if things point. Don't yeah. work out the way you hoped, that you won't regret it and you won't resent him. Whether he is your husband or ex and the baby daddy, you know yeah. what I'm trying to think? You know, I just want you to feel confident in your decisions as an adult. And that's just something I think you should just, you're going to have to feel good about. And then as far as opinions from other people, the more they see that you're happy and confident in your decisions, the sooner they will come around. And that's yeah. just, it is what it is.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really great advice. I think I am at a point where I'm kind of lacking someone who can give me that sort of advice on a day-to-day basis, because talking about these sorts of things with my 20 or 30 something year old friends is just difficult because they don't quite like get it either. Like there's a little bit of perspective lacking from them and they do have their own concerns. So it's hard because I don't have someone to bounce this stuff off of. So I get in my head a lot about it, like this yeah, decision, yeah, like it. I've been in my head about this for months. So, yeah,
I get
you.
It. But don't
thank
be afraid you. To still get advice from your friends, even if you don't agree with it. It's always great to hear other people's perspectives sometimes when we don't want to hear it or even if they don't understand. It's just you're just kind of getting, you know, data, I guess, yeah. from other people.
Sure.
And you know, you said you have 30-year-old friends. Those are good people to get advice from, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah, well, if those 30-year-old friends, you know, are still single and dating men their age, then certainly they're going to have a biased opinion. If those 30-year-old friends got married at 22 and are still with the same guy and are happy, you know, I don't know. Everyone has different situations, but I don't think you should yeah. ignore talking to your friends just because they're not going to tell you what you want to hear. Right.
True.
And make no mistake.
yeah.
You are wanting to be the exception to the rule. And that doesn't mean you can't be.
Of course.
And because yeah. you want to be the exception to the rule, you're going to have your doubters. And there is risk involved. Yeah. And that's just a fact.
Yeah.
yeah. So, yeah. and I'm a risk taker. Other people are too. And we all have different types of risk we're willing to take. But just don't pretend to think and convince yourself that you're not trying to take a risk and you're trying, you know, this is normal. It's different. And there's yeah. a greater probability of yeah. problems than not problems. That's all.
Right. Sure. Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you for the advice. Yeah.
All right. Best of luck. All right.
Thank
take care.
Thanks. Bye.
How's it going?
It's going well. How are you?
Great. What's your name?
My name is Rachel. I'm 28.
Hi, Rachel, 28. How can I help?
So I started dating my ex-boyfriend like 5.5 years ago. We broke up 2 months ago, which has been confusing because we still live together.
Okay.
About a year ago, I bought a house and he has been living for free. I pay the mortgage and all of the bills because last year he got really into like finances and money and trying to like plan for the future and just set us up for success. So my student loans, in his mind were kind of preventing us from moving forward. So he paid off all like $35,000 of my student loans. So okay. the arrangement was that he'd live for free. Like that's how he would be paid off.
Uh-huh.
So,
okay.
Now that we have broken up, we are trying to figure out like what the best path forward is, I guess.
Uh-huh.
We ended on pretty good terms. Like there's no like real hard feelings. We're just like fundamentally different.
Okay, that's
like
good.
He's really, yeah. I mean, he's really type A and I'm really type B, which is kind of like what brought us to the end, essentially. So now it's just like determining, is it realistic to continue living with an ex for another year until he's paid off? Or is there something else I should do to try to get out of this situation?
So that's the question, is like, is what you're doing like healthy for either of you or for you? Or
Yeah, I guess so. Like, it started off fine, but now that we are both like starting to see other people and move on, yeah, like it's starting to feel a little bit messy.
Yeah, I'm getting the impression from you that your ex-boyfriend has really like in a good way, very thoroughly kind of laid out like, okay, I'm paying this off, you know, these $35,000 that you said, and then mm-hmm. did the math on how much he would pay you rent if he was paying you rent to go towards your mortgage and the equity, et cetera, et cetera. So there's like, you mentioned another year and a half. It's not as if like, well, just we'll be together forever and I'll just pay you rent. And it was,
right.
It sounds like he did the math, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I get, that's good news to some degree, because at least there's not like a moving goalpost, right? There's an actual number, right? So I don't need to hear the number per se, but if you were to go to your ex today and say, just out of curiosity, what do I owe you today? How much left do I have to pay off? He would be able to give you a number.
Yeah, we sat down and did that like pretty shortly after we broke up, which is how we came to, like, I still owe him basically half.
Okay.
So about a little, we're pretty close to 15,000 at this point.
Yeah.
Which, if he continues living rent free, bill free, would put us at like one more year living together.
Sure. Well, so good news for you, and I bet he even has the answers to these questions. There's interest rates are really low. There's ways to borrow money. You could take out a $15,000 loan if you don't have it. I mean, if you have the money, that's an option too. I don't know if you do. A lot of people don't have that kind of money on hand, but like that is an option. And I guess this is where I'm going with it. Like, of course it's better for you guys right now to figure out how to like separate ties and have him move out. I mean, there's exceptions to every rule. Fine, but I just don't see, even if you guys are super mature and super cool and totally fine with it and are completely indifferent about each other romantically and you both date, like there's no guarantee that the new people you bring in your life are going to be, nor should they be. It's just a weird thing to try to explain.
And yeah, so, he's been having a real hard time with that. I've gotten pretty lucky as far as the people I've started seeing, but yeah, he's not. Which is kind of, I think, why his resentment might be building up a little bit,
because
it is kind of been a deal breaker.
Well, so. I think that's better for you that he's struggling with it than you are. Because if it was the other way around, be like, all these chicks are super cool with it. I'm having all this sex and it's great. And I just like living here. And you're just like, I don't know. This is super weird for me. These guys are not. I can't live my life.
Yeah.
So it sounds like this is a very reasonable problem that has a solution to it. You know, this could be a lot messier than it is, right? This could be, well, you know, I he paid off my loans and I just kind of, we didn't agree on what rent would be, you know, we didn't agree. Like, it sounds like he was very diligent about this, and that's great, because what if you guys never like set a price on what he was going to pay you rent? You know, was it half the amount? Was it a third? You're building equity. He's not, kind of thing. There's a, you know, that's not a, that's not a black and white answer. And thankfully you guys agreed upon that. And it sounds like so far he's being reasonable. And so that will help you guys avoid confusion. And
definitely,
I think you should start looking into other vehicles of how you can pay him back rather quickly.
And that's, that was kind of the first thought I had, was should I just take out another loan? But I'm basically like throwing my entire paycheck at the mortgage in rent. Like, I'm not sure I could financially take on another payment.
Can you take on a different roommate who's not someone you used to date for 4 years and have sex with?
That is, like, that is an option. Know,
that's an option. Yeah. And I guess the point is, things could be a little tight for you for a couple months.
Yeah.
Even if you had to take on a part-time job, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it, I understand times are different and that might not even be an option. I guess what I'm saying is the short answer is you should definitely start looking in to your options as opposed to trying to make this solution work. Doesn't mean you have to kick them out tomorrow. It just means you start looking at what options you have. And I don't have all the answers, but a roommate is definitely an option. Taking on a loan is an option. Things like that to help you kind of get this additional income to help you pay this off. And even if you're making a decision that, you know, like everything in life has pros and cons, right? A year and a half ago, it seemed like a best case scenario to be like, yeah, your student loans are fucking up your guys' mutual finances if you got married and he had the money and he paid it off. And that was a great solution then, right? It had some risk involved and now it's not a great solution. Now you have to find a different solution. And that solution to that problem might not, like, might have its pros and cons. It might have some temporary cons being like things are going to be tight, like it's you're not going to be able to save much money, et cetera, et cetera. But there's value in being personally freed up to live your life and be happy and not have this baggage and not like, you know, he is baggage, right? That because he lives with you.
Yeah.
And that's, there's nothing against him or you. You guys are baggage to each other at this point in your relationship. And so like you're just better off not putting a pause on your personal life to save a little bit of money. And I understand like some, you know, you might have to do this for a month or two more weeks before you figure it out and take your time and be thankful that your ex-boyfriend, you guys seem reasonable. It sounds like you're able to communicate, but just start thinking of what those solutions would be because your current solution is not sustainable and you shouldn't try to make that work.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't really thought about like, well, so the other issue is like, he is currently like in school and he's going to be starting school in January. So I don't know. We don't exactly know what his financial situation is going to be yet.
Start realizing that your guys' financial situations are your own situations and not one another's problems.
So hard, yeah.
And there's a difference between being understandable and saying, okay, we're in this situation together. Let's work together because we both have these situations and we're going to, you know, we're going to do the best we can to make it work, but with the mutual agreement that it's separate and you need to work to get them more separate, not work to keep them together. You know what I'm saying? So like being understanding of his situation is one thing. Making his situation your situation is another thing and knowing the difference.
Yeah.
So that's his problem he needs to figure out. And you have your problem you need to figure out. Your problem is you don't know if like right now you can afford not to get his rent. Right. But there are potential solutions to that problem. And you need to figure that out, not him. And he needs to figure out his solution.
Yeah. So because I'm not getting anything from him at the moment. So it's
he's not even paying you rent.
No, like that's how I'm paying him off. So like,
that's right.
The full mortgage and the full bills. So I know I could sustain living here by myself, but we bought like a big piece of shit house. Like the plan was to flip it and like in a few years, sell it. So it's not a house that like I could stay in on my own anyway. Like I'm just not that handy. I can do some stuff, but yeah, I think it's just like because like he literally paid $35,000, basically depleted his savings to help me get out of debt. Like we are separate now, but it's been like really hard switching from like relationship to roommate and like
it's not supposed to happen. But just to sum it up, right? And I don't have like the financial answers for you. Like it's not like you're like here, Nick, here's all my situation, here's my ex's situation. What I am simply saying is there's definitely other solutions. And you haven't really explored those yet. And you need to. And not all those solutions are going to have are going to solve your problem immediately. And they might, in the short term, make things a little bit more difficult for the both of you. And as long as you can manage through it, and maybe, you know, there are solutions. People often just decide off the bat, well, there's no other solutions. This is my problem. There are other solutions. You just got to find out what those are. And it's not always going to be sexy and pretty up front, but at least look into it because you definitely need to figure out how to completely separate from yourselves. And you guys need to work together to as individuals to figure out how you can make this work for the both of you, but both recognize that you guys have to go your separate ways financially and, you know, romantically.
Definitely. You're right. I just need to explore what options, like I need to definitely put my interests ahead of our interests.
Yeah. There is no our anymore. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And that's what you need to understand. But you can still be kind and empathetic, but know that there is no R, right?
Yeah.
And so you guys need to both do that, and but still, like, there is a clear goal, and that goal is to truly separate and make it work and understand that there's going to be some tough decisions ahead, but it's important to do that because big picture-wise, it's the best thing for you guys.
I agree. And then I guess just really quickly then, because kind of like we talked about, like, it's not going to, like, there's no solution that's going to be super quick. Like, I would guess at least another month or so living together. Like I said, we're both like started moving on and like seeing other people. And it's clear, like, I'm not dating anyone to get into another relationship. I'm just like getting back out there, like trying to get my mojo back essentially. And he's like dating to get into another relationship. So there's already kind of been conversations like, would you be comfortable if she comes over, or like, how do you?
Well, again, yeah. So again, you have to put your foot down. There's a reasonableness to it. Like, you. There's only so much you guys would expect of each other, but you can use that as motivation to be like, this isn't going to work, right?
Yeah.
And we really need to sit down together as people who respect one another, who are not in a relationship anymore, to figure out how we can make this work.
Right.
And I guess my point is sometimes we use the excuse of being like, well, it's easy to want to poke holes into all the different options you have or solutions of why this is going to, your solution, I guess what I'm trying to say, is not necessarily going to seem better than your current solution financially speaking, right? You're going to have to make some sacrifices financially for the emotional and mental benefit that you're going to gain from it. In the long term, you'll figure it out financially, right? But like what I'm saying is you can't have your cake and eat it too here. You're both going to have to make some sacrifices.
Yes.
And so you have to, clearly are struggling with that because there's this still bond that you guys have and you're being way too understanding. You guys have to separate. And you can use that as saying, no, I'm not okay with that. I don't want to be made to be okay with that, nor do I want to make you okay with that. And that's why we need to figure this out.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Like the quickest thing I can think of is basically just refinancing the house and putting it in his name. And I think like with the equity in the house, like that might just pay him off. Like
maybe
the amount was put into the house. And, but I keep going back and forth. Like, do I walk away from like my house, like my investment, even though
it's not always an easy choice. Sometimes, again, there's money, there's emotions, you know, you'll have to figure that out. And I think you need to just take the time to list some pros and cons, but money isn't always the end all be all, right? Just because like, oh, you get equity in a house you don't love, but you know, you're stubborn because people are like, oh, don't lose your equity. And I'm not saying you should do that, but like your mental health and emotional health matter too. So you just have to figure that out. And what I'm saying is look at your options and consider them all and don't discount your emotional and mental health. That's just as sometimes as important, or if not more important than your financial health and situation. You'll have to weigh the two. I'm not here to tell you how to weigh those things, but you can figure it out, and you just need to start looking at those options and consider them.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I think I've been telling myself like emotionally I can do this. Like it'll be weird. It'll be hard, but like I can already feel like I'm not generally a jealous person, but like the thought of like him bringing his new girlfriend here or whatever, like, I can't imagine that's going to bring
Listen,
out like
yeah,
great
people all
time.
The time start thinking about how they get asked these absurd things from people they, you know, were in relationships with, and then like are worried that they're going to be labeled as jealous or insecure. No, it's a normal thing not to be okay with that. It doesn't make you anything other than normal to have that bother you. It doesn't mean you still love him. It doesn't mean you like regret your decision. It's just fucking weird, you know, and that's fine. So all right.
It is weird. Okay, thank you guys so much.
All right, take care.
Appreciate it.
All right,
you
bye-bye.
Too. Bye.
Wow, what a great episode. Was I right? Did I kill it?
You did.
Wow. Nice job, Nick. Anywho, again,
just it was nice that you did it by yourself, or that you did it by yourself. We've had some great guests lately, but it's nice to hear you interact with everybody again.
Yeah. And if you haven't had a chance to go listen to the Justin Long Ask Nick, do yourself a favor. It's really fun. It's really good. Once again, my Christmas request, I'm just going to be selfish here and say I want a Christmas gift, you know, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, you know, and if you want to sharing or, you know, posting your stories, I'll reshare some of your stories on my Instagram and in the show's Instagram. Can't thank you enough for doing that. Have a happy holidays. Don't forget tomorrow, Sarah Silverman helps us break down the final 2 episodes of The Bachelorette, and we'll have the runner up of this season with me on the Vile Files to find out if they're going to be okay. Bye.
To see if they're going to be okay.